This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. If you'd like to send feedback, please send to sci-fi at deliberatenoise.com, which is S-C-I-F-I. You can also call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. I'm going to tell you two things right off the bat. Number one, I am probably going to spoil some things such as Torchwood, Miracle Day, Doctor Who, the past few seasons. Some spoilers may pop up. Maybe a little bit of a Sarah Jane Adventures. Selected issues of Marvel's Fantastic Four, Superman, stuff like that. And number two, I'm really sleepy. I haven't exactly started my new job yet, but I'm trying to get my body conditioned to get up every day. And I'm not even sure what time I'm going to be starting, so I've been getting up at 6. Yesterday I was up from 6 until about 2:30 or 3 o'clock the next morning, you know, and it is currently now 8:30. So I've had about 5 hours of sleep. And so two things are happening. Number one, I'm a little punch drunk, and my mind is racing. That's a good thing. But the second thing is that my mind still isn't working the way it should. It's racing and it's moving fast, but it's one of those things where my transmission is sort of slipping, you know. So even though the RPMs are going up extremely high, I'm having trouble getting out of first and the second gear. I should say, out of second and a third, because I'm already out of first. Anyway, last night, as of this recording, was the premiere of Torchwood Miracle Day on Stars. Now, but I understand that Torchwood was originally a BBC program. And I'm not sure what's going on with the whole Doctor Who, Torchwood, Sarah Jane Adventures universe they have going on over there. Because while Doctor Who seems to be going just fine, you know, it hasn't had any problems in its scheduling. I mean, its scheduling is all screwed up with these really, really long gaps between the first part of the season and the second part of the season, which, if you watch shows like Burn Notice, you kind of get it, you know. A lot of people are trying to compare it to the same breaks that Lost used to have. The same, you know, those kind of breaks. But this is not the same, right? The break for Lost was like 1 or 2 months, pretty much during a downtime, right? Right after one of the sweeps periods, then you have the holidays, and then right before the new sweeps period started, that's when they would restart Lost. This is a few months, you know? not a bunch of weeks, but I'm talking about a few months. And the way I understand it is due to the scheduling thing, there we may not get a new episode of Doctor Who at all in 2012, you know? I mean, but if I can go a year, over a year, without watching The Sopranos back when I was a huge fan, and I'm pretty sure I can hold off for Doctor Who. And by the way, people think I don't like Doctor Who simply because I'm not, you know, falling all over myself with praise for Stephen Moffat and the gang over there. I think that it is a very good show. I think that it is consistently one of the top two science fiction shows on television. All right. However, I think that it always bumps up against something that I like better, you know, whether it's Fringe or Stargate Universe or Falling Skies, which, to tell you the truth, they need to hurry up and make one great big major change. They're going to lose me with Falling Skies. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I'll talk about that on another show. So it's like it's always excellent, but there's always just that something else, you know? I'm going to put this in musical terms. They're like Chuck Berry, okay? Most people don't realize, but Chuck Berry only had one number one hit. All right? A bunch of his songs were in the top five, you know? A couple of them even got as high as number two, but only one of them was number one. And that was My Ding-a-ling, okay? Simply because anytime he put out something, there would always be something else, you know? It happened in the early 70s with albums, you know? Every time somebody would put out a great album, it wouldn't win the Grammy because the Grammy would go to Stevie Wonder, which, you know, I think even one year, who was it? Paul Simon might have won. Right, this is back, you know, early 70s, so Paul Simon and Stevie Wonder, people like that, they were actually cool. And he even thanked Stevie Wonder in his acceptance speech for not putting out an album, right? Because he was always coming in number two. There's a song by Boys to Men that was number one forever. I don't even remember the name of it because I'm not a big Boys to Men fan. Plus, it came out. It was a slow song that came out during a time where I had no use for slow songs, so I wasn't listening to them. But think about all those other songs that came out in between that had no shot at number one. And I said, that's all I'm saying. It's like, and this is just off the top of my head because I really don't know. But it's like, I don't know, Hanging Tough. Was that a song that came out when Boys and Men were popular, even though that was the Kids on the Block, you know? Anyway, all right, I'm beating this analogy to death. If you don't get it, you just don't want to get it. But I do like Doctor Who, right? Watch it every week. There's a new show. Anyway, what the hell was I saying? That's another part of being tired. Anyway, Doctor Who. Yeah, Torchwood. I don't know what's going on over there, right? Because Doctor Who, like I said, has really bad scheduling. I don't know if the Sarah Jane, what they're going to do with the Sarah Jane Adventures at all. I'm assuming that show is done now that it's Star and, you know, the woman who played Sarah Jane, Elizabeth Sladen, she died, unfortunately. I think it was breast cancer. I'm not sure. But when she died, I'm pretty sure that the show died with her. They could still do a kids show like it, featuring the kids. It would just not have Sarah Jane in it. I mean, it is possible. Part of me hopes they don't do it. You know, they can figure out a way around that. So we'll see. But Torchwood, it went from being a show that came out sort of like Doctor Who with like 10, maybe 13 episodes a season for a couple of seasons. Then all of a sudden it kind of like vanished and it came back as a 5-episode miniseries. And it was a really good 5 episodes. Was it Children of Earth? Torchwood, Children of Earth. And it came out like every night, right, for a week, you know, and it was really good. I mean, I always thought that Torchwood was okay. I actually prefer the hijinks of Doctor Who and Sarah Jane Adventures to Torchwood, simply because Torchwood is supposed to be like an adult alternative, but the only real thing adult in it was the fact that they had people have sex, you know. And it wasn't like hardcore, you know, ankles on shoulders type sex, but it was sex, maybe even extremely partial nudity, stuff like that. But either way, it was naked. It wasn't really adult, you know. Then when I came out with that Torchwood Children of Earth, things were a little more adult, and that some hard moral questions were posed, you know. Basically, how do you free these children without hurting them, and all that kind of good stuff, right? So it was a little bit more philosophical. It made you think a little more, you know. And that's what adults are supposed to do. Adults are supposed to think, you know. But that was it. It disappeared. Then all of a sudden, they announced that Torchwood was going to be like a joint production with Stars, you know. And I'm not sure when it comes on over in Britain, over in the UK, sorry. But it showed here, which I'm almost positive is the first time that any of the Doctor Who-verse shows have shown over here first. I think the only other possible exception to that might have been the Doctor Who movie on Fox, maybe. But with good reason, because everything was being produced over in BBC, you know, by BBC for their audience. So now, I know that this is like I said, a joint venture, and I'm pretty sure it's between BBC and Stars, because, you know, BBC still does own those characters, right? So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long Miracle Day is going to last, and what's going to happen next. I'm hoping that it is sort of a ratings hit, you know? But how many people have Stars? And I know for a fact that in my cable provider, we get Stars for free. We get Stars and Encore for free. And I don't know how many other people with cable get that, you know, or if, you know, there's going to be a lot of downloading today. But I don't know. We'll just have to see where it goes with that. But this one is probably the most mature version of Torchwood they've had, you know, because in this case, the adult situations really are adult, right? Now, I'm definitely going to get into more of a spoilery thing now. Miracle Day is a day where all over the world, nobody dies, all right? Now, it starts off with a convicted killer and pedophile getting executed, but he won't die, you know, and because of that, they end up releasing him, You know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, then that's just for TV. Right? Because I'm pretty sure that if he doesn't die, and they even rank that, say, well, just because, you know, we don't free somebody, you know, some guy was telling this bad guy, we don't free somebody just because when you hang them, the rope breaks, you know, which is true. They keep going, right? Even if it's one of those deals where it's like you are executed, you know, until dead, but, you know, you're dead, your heart stops, but, you know, you hear about those people who just hearts start up again a couple hours, you know, not a couple hours, but a few minutes after they've been dead. And now, I don't know, do you free somebody like that? Because they've already fulfilled their sentence. They were dead. You did kill them just because it didn't stick. Yeah. And that's what this is going on. But not only do you have that, but nobody is dying. Nobody's dying from accidents. Nobody's dying of old age. Nobody's able to commit suicide. One of the major characters is a new introduced character is Mekhi Phifer. He's the actor. I can't remember the character's name. But as he's driving on Miracle Day, he gets into a really bad car accident where he gets impaled with a bunch of metal stakes, right? So he should be dead, but he's not. He's in an immense amount of pain, you know? And they show him most of it. They show him in the hospital, you know, and there's all kind of questions that come up, right? It's like, if somebody can't die, what do you do for them? You know, how are you going to alleviate their pain? Right. And then more than that, they brought up, overcrowding, because let's face it, they're going to run out of space. They're going to run out of food. If nobody ever dies, what do you do? Where do you go from there? Like I said, there's all kind of more philosophical, ethical, and moral questions that are being asked. There's this one part, and this is going to be like the last of the very specific spoilers. From now on, most of the spoilers will just be like vague. And I do have to spoil some things going forward, and not just this, but previous things. But they wanted to see exactly how far non-death hat goes, right? So there's this guy who is really burnt and twisted, and most of his body is missing, but he's still alive. So the question is what happens if you remove the head? And they show what happens when you remove the head, and that part I'm not going to spoil. But when it gets to that point, a couple of the doctors who are there and a couple of the government men who are there, they're like, oh, we can't just go around and do that. He is still alive. He's our patient, you know? And so you have to ask, in a world full of immortals, where do you draw the line at when it comes to human experimentation? Because let's face it, that's what that was. It was human experimentation. Like, so they're all kind of a little bit. It was a lot deeper than I thought it would be, you know. Because a lot of people don't like dealing with death. A lot of people would just prefer to not think about it at all, even though it's going to happen to all of us. It's going to happen to everyone we know. You know, it's like this song by the Flaming Lips. Do you realize, you know, one day everyone you know will be dead, or I forgot how it goes, or one day everyone you know will die. It's one of those things we just try not to think about. There are people who believe that there is an afterlife and that we just move on to the next stage. There are people who believe that nothing happens, you know. What I think is really funny is both of those are predicated upon faith. You know, some people say, oh, no, it's science. No, you're having faith in science. Right? You are truly having faith that nothing supernatural happens, just like some people are having faith that something supernatural will happen. It's all just a bunch of faith. I don't know, you know. let's just say energy never dies. Okay, energy never gets destroyed. So our consciousness may go, but I still believe that the electrical spark that makes us us has to go somewhere, you know. And what happens to those belief systems when no one dies? You know, I mean, it's really deep when you really stop and think about it, right? If you take it on face value, yes, this is a really good first part of what looks like is going to turn out to be a really exciting series. And I really hope it's a huge hit because I actually want more, you know. The original Torchwood team was like five people, and we get introduced through the eyes of Gwen Cooper, who can't tell anybody. And it's really funny because I think a lot of people sort of forget something. And as also something that was sort of touched upon, and this is one of the problems that my friend Just Bill has with the series. Torchwood is supposed to be this super secret, very exclusive part of the British intelligence, right? Like nobody's supposed to know who they are, what they do, that kind of thing. And yet, every time they show up, the cops, like regular beat cops, know who they are and what they do, and they drive around with a thing with Torchwood on the side. And they kind of mentioned that at the beginning of the show, where the name Torchwood was sent to everybody in the CIA, you know, and people were like, what is Torchwood? And they started investigating, except for one guy who said that Torchwood has nothing to do with us, nothing to do with me. And then of course he ends up getting killed. That's Mekhi Phifer's character. But it kind of touch on it, like, exactly, is Torchwood supposed to be a huge secret or not? You know, I personally am leaning towards the not part, and not because they're driving around, but, and this is where I'm going to get into the spoilers for all the other things. The problem with a show, especially a spinoff adventure show like Torchwood, and to a lesser extent, Sarah Jane Adventures. I'm not sure because I'm still watching some episodes of that. And Doctor Who, is that these shows are all related. They all share a universe. It has been established that they share a universe. I mean, hell, Sarah Jane was the companion for years for Doctor Who, right? She's made appearances on the current Doctor Who incarnation, so the modern audience knows who she is, you know. Torchwood got its start because of Doctor Who, you know. I mean, these guys are all interrelated. There was one great big battle where Doctor Who used them all to help him defeat, I think it was probably the Master. It may have been when the Cybermen and the Daleks tried to take over the world. I'm drawing a blank. But either way, they all know each other. Their storylines are all interconnected. And that is the problem with a shared universe. It's the same problem that DC and Marvel have. And most of the time, they just ignore it, you know. When the CIA say they can't find anything on Torchwood, right? And they're acting like, you know, all these people dying, that like something like this has never happened before. Even though the last time Torchwood appeared on Children of Earth, all the children had been taken over by aliens. You know, they're in the Doctor Who universe. The Master took over the entire planet. Right, I can't remember which one, what it was, but the Daleks and the Cybermen took over the planet. Remember, there was those little fat guys. I mean, these guys were made out of fat. They were all over the entire planet, right? In fact, one of these episodes, a Obama sort of look-alike was shown. So, I mean, they share a universe, you know? So for something like this, for them to have absolutely no clue about Torchwood was really straining everything, you know? It's like, well, hey, you remember when the entire world was taken over and a handful of guys helped free us? Yeah, a couple of those people were Torchwood. If you will recall, because I'm pretty sure, and I'm not 100%, I got to go back and watch this episode, but the defeat of the Master was broadcast worldwide, wasn't it? Pretty sure it was, you know? And, oh, man, it's like, this is the problem. All right, like I said, DC and Marvel, they do this all the time. Back in the, was it the early 2000s? They did, Marvel was, you know, doing a lot of really good things with their Marvel Knights imprint. And one of the things that they did, two of the things they did was, number one, they let Mark Millar write Spider-Man, which, if you want some really good Spider-Man stories that were kind of not in continuity, then check it out. It's Marvel Knights Spider-Man first 12 issues. Good stuff. It was sort of like their version of Hush, if Hush didn't happen in the DC universe. And if you know Batman, then you know Hush. Anyway, the other thing they did was they had a second Fantastic Four book that was written by the playwright, whose name I can't remember, like Roberto Sacasa Agar, I think, drawn by Steve McNiven, that part I remember. And one of the they were trying to do the Fantastic Four a little bit more realistically, okay? So these guys had secret identities for a change, where they lived in the suburbs with the kids. And they had this image changer, the same type of image changer that Tony Stark had made for Nightcrawler way back in the day, that he used every now and then to walk around and look like a guy who looked suspiciously like Tony Stark. I think Sue changed her appearance, while Reed could actually just give himself a receding hairline and no chin and a big nose so that he'd look different, you know? Which I had no problem with that. But they tried to tell a story that you cannot tell in a superhero shared universe. And they tried to tell a story about a camping trip. And if my dogs start barking in a little while, it's because I see a dog bark. Yeah, I see a dog walking across the street. Hold on a second. All right, sorry about that. Every time I try to record outside. Anyway, you can't do certain types of shows in a superhero shared universe. And they try to tell a story where they went camping. And when they get camping, you know, there's things that go bump in the night. And there was, you know, aliens. You know, it was very, very X-Files-ish, okay? But there have been several alien invasions in the Marvel Universe. They can probably say, Derek, this isn't the Marvel Universe, right? This you just said it was out of continuity. Well, yeah, it's out of continuity, but this is still the Fantastic Four, all right? They still made references to them going out in the outer space a little later, okay? You know, you're the Fantastic Four. You took on Galactus. You know, you took on the Skrulls and the Badoon. You're not going to really be afraid of one UFO that goes bump in the night, you know? And that, I really, really had a problem with that story. Over in DC, they tried the same thing. You know, they tried to bring back the Challengers of the Unknown, but not the Challengers of the Unknown that everybody knows. and likes a whole lot, but not exactly love because they cannot really sustain their own book. Well, this was a new Challenges of the Unknown, and these guys actually studied that, you know, paranormal. They were like the X-Files of the DC Universe, which would be good if this wasn't in continuity, and it has already been established that there are aliens walking amongst us. Hey, Superman, Martian Manhunter, those names kind of ring a bell, you know? There's magic guys. There's Zatanna, who was a part of the Justice League, you know? And even though her whole gimmick is that she's a stage magician, right? No, people still... there's no way you can convince me that everybody in the DC Universe is so stupid that they think that she's going to be part of the Justice League of America, you know, standing there in press conferences, taking pictures when she's just a stage magician. Got to be something to it, right? You can't go hunting for aliens like you've never seen aliens before. Like, people are afraid. I don't know if anybody's going to believe me that I've seen aliens, right? The DC Universe had an entire crossover event called Invasion that was about aliens coming down and taking over parts of the planet until they were beaten back by the Earth's superheroes. The people of the DC Universe know they're aliens. The people of the Marvel Universe know there are aliens. The people in the Whoverse know there are aliens. The aliens have taken over the planet a number of times. There was a part where the dead were coming alive, remember? It turns out it had something to do with Cybermen. I really got to rewatch those episodes. You know, it is, they've shown it time and time again on international TV. So to all of a sudden act like, wow, we don't know what's going on here. Oh, I'm sorry. But quite frankly, I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that the U.S. government in the Whovers don't have their own version of Torchwood. Okay? In fact, I think in real life we do. We do have somebody who's ready for aliens to come down and take over the planet so they can fight them off. It's like, oh my God. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. If I was starting one of those things, one of the first things I'd do would be to not only get some science fiction writers to help with the theoretical discussions, but also some comic book writers. Because comic book writers and science fiction writers, they both think one thing, right? That if the aliens come down, one of two things is going to happen. They're going to be benevolent and they're going to help, you know, they're going to help their stupid cousin walk up the ladder. Or they're going to come down and say, wow, you know what? This planet's got some pretty good shit. We should get rid of all these ants walking around, these two-legged ants, and try to wipe us out. Now, if that happens, hold on 1 second. Kids are starting to wake up, so I don't remember where I was. I'm tired, and I want to go to sleep, but I can't go to sleep because I will throw my sleep cycle off. Aliens, United States, aliens coming down and destroying things. Yeah, if you actually watch a show, there's a couple of shows that they have. There's one called Bad Science. They did an episode. They take a look at all the stuff on various tropes in science fiction, I think, and they try to apply real science thing to them, right? And that's another thing. And all I'm just going to say, never mind. Anyway, so what they do is they look at all these science fiction tropes and they try to figure out what could actually happen. You know, is time travel actually possible? It's possible, but it would take a lot of energy. And no, it won't. It can't. It cannot. It cannot. Thank you. Derek has spoken. Let's move on. They're just stories. Everybody has stories of regret. I even have some, but just a few, and really too few to mention. Anyways, but one of them they did was on like alien invasions, right? And National Geographic Channel did one on you know, what would happen if aliens really did invade, and they gave all these reasons, and they came to the same conclusion I came up with: time travel. Yeah, tain't happening, right? But yeah, just, you know, if you ever get a chance to watch something like that where they say, yeah, we're going to talk about can alien invasions really happen, watch it and you'll see. But anyway, I would hire those guys, those scientists who've thought about these things. But more than that, because they're looking at it from a strictly scientific point of view, and I still think there's a lot of shit in science that just hasn't been explained away. So I'm not going to put all my faith into science. I would want science fiction writers, hard sci-fi writers, not even mainly, now that I think about it, I'd actually want somebody who's not going to give me much of a scientific basis. You know, somebody who can try, I hate to say it like this, but try to use their brains, you know, try to use their minds to expand their minds. So I would have people like, you know, Grant Morrison and Alan Moore, I guess Mark Waid, Hernandez brothers, some people who can try to think alien-y, you know, and say, okay, what do you think? Right. Now, the dude who made, Independence Day? Yeah, I probably wouldn't invite him to the story, you know, to the big meeting. But, and plus, I'm a fanboy. Of course, I'm going to invite those guys to a big meeting and make sure that they sign some papers. But, no, it's like, I don't know, you know, it just, to me, that is like the one big flaw of the shared universe. Is like, if something major happens, other writers, in order to tell the stories they want to tell, usually have to ignore it, right? Every now and then, and it drives people crazy about DC and Marvel, they will have crossover events where a pivotal thing happens to every title in, you know, every title that's being printed. Like Invasion, when Invasion happened, every title had an alien in it, had an alien invasion. It was related somehow. But you get those things where they may or may not get mentioned, right? Like Lex Luthor destroying Metropolis with a bunch of robots apparently didn't stop him from being voted president of the United States. At least I think that's how that went. You know, there was a huge, well, I take that back. There was a huge, earthquake that kind of devastated Gotham City. And that was mentioned, but it didn't affect a lot of other people outside of the bad books. So I'll give them a pass for that. But over in Marvel, you had, Magneto take over this island of Manhattan, right? Is it an island? Or is it just like part of the city? I don't care. Only thing I know about New York City is that it got taken over by Magneto. And it has been attacked by the Submariner and the force and the marauding hordes of Atlanteans, you know? And that stuff is like never mentioned. And other books, especially New York, because since everything in the Marvel Universe seems to happen in New York City, you'd think that somebody would notice, hey, our city just got taken over by an evil mutant. Or, hey, you know what? There's this big aquatic thing called Monstro that's walking down the, walking down Fifth Avenue. Is that near the ocean? New York people don't really care, so don't tell me. And yeah, there's always like superhero battles going on there. I would not live in the Marvel Universe, New York City. It just seems like too much of a hassle, you know? But anyway, I mean, you have all these major things happening, and it doesn't really affect anybody else. You know? There's no way you can convince me of the fact that if this was in real life, that the city of Manhattan, shit, I don't know. Is it the city of Manhattan, or is it just part of New York? Is it still New York City, the city of New York City? Damn, I'm sick of talking about New York. See, that whole fucking place is pissing me off now. Anyway, number one, if I was living in the Marvel Universe, me and a lot of other millions of people wouldn't live in that place, the city of New York City. Some bitches. Name your city right and quit chopping it up in a bunch of different parts. Queens, Bronx, Manhattan, the other ones. Who cares? Who gives a shit? I'm done. Go to deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi if you want to comment about anything except New York City. Goodbye. Told y'all I was tired. I get cranky when I get tired.